Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another FPL podcast special brought to you by me, Alex Jones, and Ross, the KOA team, the Young Guns, bringing you the FPL content. My belief is it's just because the others, well, originally it was because I thought the others couldn't be bothered to get involved. But what we're about to bring to you today is everyone getting involved in FPL, which has been good to see, including Mark, including Stu. Both of them have, I'd say, done quite well in their first FPL game week. And there are some of you who've done really well. The league that we have, our official KOA league, has reached, I think it's in the region of 1,000 people so far. The rankings have started to take shape after game week one. We're going to talk about the standouts. We're going to talk about our team, some good moments, some bad moments. Speaking of bad moments, I'm joined by Ross, as mentioned, who's currently bravely trying to fight off a spider that's lingering above him somewhere, and he's slightly worried it's going to come down and jump in front of the camera or like eat him or something like that. Ross, come in. My first question to you, are you scared of spiders?
No, I'm not scared of spiders. I just don't want them on my face. I just don't want them like on me. I have held a tarantula before, you know, back in the day. My mate had basically a pet tarantula, and I sort of just, you know, one day just went, go on in, let me feel it. And it was fine because it was just there, just in your hand. But this one isn't as big as a tarantula, but it's just staring at me up there. I'm just going to leave it for now. If it does start crawling, and if you do see me panic, it's because, yeah, even though I'm not scared of spiders, as I said, I just don't want it on my face. But no, great to be back for the another FPL episode. I will admit, I've not had a good week in terms of our four kings on bottom. I think I'm 5 points away from Heathy, who's third. Stu is second, and obviously you're first, if you want to rank it as us four. But yeah, let's get into it, mate.
Yeah, I'm a little bit worried I'm now going to like attack some members of the KOA army here, but who has a pet tarantula? Cool, that feels like there's red flags going all over my head now. That puts me on edge. I've seen there's a few stories of spiders as big as rats invading the UK. Yeah, so I assume that the one that you've got in your house right now is not as big a rat. So fingers crossed we're going to be okay with that one. Let's get into some FPL then, because that's why everyone's here. Game week one in the books. Big winners, Brighton, I'd say, from kind of like the Premier League results. You probably do have to put Liverpool in there against Ipswich in terms of the scoreline, at least. Manchester City getting the win at Chelsea. United winning on opening day. Arsenal getting what looked like a comfortable win. Wasn't really that comfortable when you look back at it. Newcastle scraping through. Villa winning at West Ham. Forest drawing at Bournemouth. A bit of a surprise win for Brentford against Crystal Palace, given how Palace finished the season. A lot of people went for some Palace players. So a few standouts in there. Should we have a look through our teams? What order do you want to do this in? Ross, whose are we going to put up first?
Oh, maybe we start from the bottom.
Okay, we're going to start from the bottom. So we're going to start off with yours. Here we go. Yes. The team of Ross Hulls is flashing up on the screen. Is it? Have you read it out? We haven't got it on. Okay,
not that prepared. I've been fighting off a spider.
Fair enough. I saw we all sent our teams in this morning.
Maybe in the post edit, I'll bring up. So if you're obviously watching this, I'll bring it up. And it's now in front of you.
Ross is giving himself some extra work here already.
It's fine. Work in progress. This is only our third FPL pod, so I've come through. But yeah, got 52 points overall, which the average, I think, is 57 in terms of points in game week one. I think
where's that put you in our KOA league then?
Oh, let me have a look quick. 533.
So that's probably around mid-table. I'd say it's lower mid-table. You are probably the Fulham of this.
I've got two Fulham players on my team. So
you
I'll
do,
take that.
And they lost, so that was a bit of an issue. Yeah.
But at least they, you know, I got they're both my Fulham players played, so they both got 2 and 3 points respectively. So I'm happy with that. David Raya got 8 points for me. I think I'm going to stick with him pretty much for the whole season because I think Arsenal will be defensively good. I'm sure they'll lose games or whatever, but 8 points is not bad from him. Now the one dark horse in this defence. Who played on the Monday. So I was a bit like, oh, I'm not having a good game week at all. And then Pedro Porro scores for Spurs. Obviously, drew with Leicester. But 9 points I got for him. So not too shabby. Mitchell for Crystal Palace only got a point. Robertson got 2 points for Fulham. So my other defenders didn't do so great. On the bench for me was Davis and Michael Keane. And obviously, Everton didn't have a good week today. So I'm pleased I didn't start Michael
Keane. And Jordan Pickford, double Everton.
I think once again, as Raya is going to be my number one. So,
If you're going to be having Raya as your number one, we're going to give out some early FPL advice here. I'd be downgrading Jordan Pickford and maybe trying to spend some of that money elsewhere.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, once again, work in progress. And then midfield, Cole Palmer, Chelsea are just a mess, aren't they? But he'll still have a good season because he was named Young Player of the Year.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, and also, it was Manchester City at home.
Yeah, it was.
It's not exactly the easiest start when you're a squad of about 400 players.
Yeah, so he only got 2 points, but I'm sure in a few weeks' time I'll be, you know, getting loads of points with him. I vice-captained Saka. Maybe I should have captained him. He got 12 points. But obviously, Arsenal, good start to the season. Phil Foden got a point because he came off the bench at half-time, didn't he, for the Brazilian Savinho, who... You know what? I think a lot of people may pick him in the future because he had a very good debut for City. Jared Bowen got 2 for West Ham. Smith Rowe got 3 for Fulham. There we go. Isaac, for Newcastle. 10 points for him. I captained him as well. And then Watkins for Aston Villa, who obviously just come back from the Euros as well. So I'm hoping he's got Arsenal, though, next up. So I don't know. And I've got João Pedro as my other striker who was on the bench. So maybe I'll switch them because even though João Pedro Brighton have got Man United, but, you know, Man United concede, don't they? And Pedro could be up there for the goal. So that's my team as a whole. Happy with Isaac, well, I keep saying, and then, you know, Saka getting me 12 points. He's the player I got the most points with. So, mid-table... is probably where I deserve to be. I'll take 52 points open week.
I like that a lot. As you've been talking, I've just missed a call about my MOT, so it's been a good start to this one. If I dip out for any reasons, as Ross is talking, it will be just to phone my local garage, just so you know. So that's Ross with 52 points. So where do we go up to next? It's going to be Mark's team, isn't it?
Yes.
56. I'll run you through this one and then you can run through Stu's in a minute. So Mark has gone 4-4-2, Flecken in goal, 4 points, which I assume must be for some save points in there because he did not keep a clean sheet against Crystal Palace. The back line, Saliba, yeah, the people's pick, and Guardiol, 6 and 7 respectively, and Pedro Porro with 9. Seems to be quite a popular pick, which I didn't understand before, starting to understand that now. And then went with Anderson. That was his letdown. Because he didn't play over the week. I'm going to need to double check this. But he did not pick up any points at all, that's for sure. So a frustrating one there. And then the midfield 4 that he's got, I should also mention Anderson, he's going to be heading to Fulham, is the latest rumour, £30 million move from South London to West London, that'll be, won't it? Getting my London geography right. The midfield 4, he's gone Cole Palmer, who got 2, like you went with him. Luis Diaz got 3 for keeping his clean sheet against Ipswich. Kai Osaka was kind of his points hauler there, 12 points there. Phil Foden, 1 point. Isak, who he captained, got an assist against Southampton, so that gave him 10. And João Pedro got 2. Bench, Areola 1. Darwin Nunez did not get on the pitch. Amari Hutchinson.
Should we talk about that?
And Leif Davis on 1. Yeah, so we had a little bit of a go at Mr. Heath for picking Darwin Nunez, and he stood by it. Fair play to him. Took some cojones, didn't it? was not the right decision, though, was it?
Well, when you look at him, to be fair, he didn't
well,
start.
He went with him in the team, and I think it became quite clear quite quickly that it was not the right option. When you looked at Liverpool's front line, it feels quite settled in terms of having Diaz, Salah, and Diogo Jota, and it was always going to be that. I was a little bit surprised that he didn't get any minutes off the bench at all, but he didn't, and his price has now dropped as well. I believe that the Victory Cigars, as the team is named, have made a change to bring in Kai Havertz, which has seen Leif Davis on the bench sacrificed to become Jacob Greaves. We might touch on Jacob Greaves in a minute. So that's been the change there. I don't think it's probably the week that he'd hoped for in terms of that. 415th for the Victory Cigars, but I don't necessarily think it's been terrible.
Yeah, so, better mine, obviously.
But not that much better, though. Not a huge difference.
I've also to pick up what you mentioned about Anderson. He did actually play against Brentford, but he got a yellow card.
So and that took his points down. Yeah. Because he conceded two goals, so that's a minus one. And then got the yellow card, and that's a minus one, so that takes us 2 points to 0 points, which is a bit of a blow. Ross, do you want to go through our current second place team? Stuart Watson, you want to have a little look through that while I play a voicemail on my phone and mute myself?
Yes, go ahead, my friend. Yeah, so Stu's got 10 more points than Heafy because he's on 66. Don't look at the table is Stu's name. He's got Flecken also in goal. He got 4 points, obviously. Then he's got Gabriel, who plays for Arsenal, got 6 points. Munez for Palace, who's got 4 points. And then Guardiol, you know who I'm talking about, from Man City. He got 7 points. Then Nkunku, who plays for Chelsea, only got a point. Probably butchered his name.
That's the one.
Then Semenyo, who plays for Bournemouth, got 8 points. Did he get an assist or did he score for Bournemouth?
He scored the equaliser.
Yes. Oh, yeah, very good pick. Very, you know, very bold pick, really, bringing a Bournemouth player. Then Smith Rowe, 3 points. And then he vice-captained, and he said in our group chat that he was debating if he was going to captain this man or vice-captain this man. And he did vice-captain Mo Salah, who obviously got 14 points because of his goal and assist against Ipswich. I think he maybe regrets that decision. I'm sure he would have got many more points. He's also got Haaland in his team, so he got 7 points because he scored. Solanke obviously made his Spurs debut, but only got 2 points. And he captained Isaac from Isaac. I think that's the fifth time I've said his name wrong for Newcastle with 10 points. And then on the bench, Sanchez, 2 for Chelsea. Winks, Leicester, 2 points. Davis, 1 point. And Ben Johnson doesn't get any points. Is that because?
Because he came on. Oh, got to make sure I get this right now. I think it's because he didn't play the full 90, so only ended up with, I think, a point from that, and then conceded. I think when he came on, Ipswich conceded both goals, didn't they? So,
yeah, I think so.
That means that he does actually, yeah, those count towards his goals he conceded. So, a frustrating one for him, but it's a good total for Stu. It took him to 151, which is quite high for someone who says he doesn't care and isn't involved. Put his team in pretty much at the last minute. So I don't think that's too bad.
I think it's not too bad at all. I think, do you know what? I think Stu's just fibbing. I think he's just sort of saying this. So
he's actually going to be totally invested for the entire campaign. Yeah. He wasn't really last year, though, when I had a look at that. But, I mean, that's when the focus was on the championship. So should we have a look at my team then?
Go on, Alan.
Okay, so I have ended up with 73 points, which I think is a respectable total, above average, which is nice. Went with Dean Henderson in goal. I'm a little bit worried about the fact that Palace defence seems to be getting torn apart with Gaye potentially going to Newcastle and Anderson off to Fulham. They don't have any centre-backs left, really. So, keen to see who they bring in the final weeks of the window, who potentially goes out. I've gone with Saliba at right centre-back. That was the banker, the premium centre-back. Gerald Quansah picked up 1 point. I'm going to come back to him in a minute. I've gone with Hall of Newcastle. He got 5 points for the clean sheet that he kept against Southampton. Mo Salah, I captained to 28 points, which helped me a lot in terms of my numbers. Did it hurt? Yes, it did hurt. Did it make sense before I did it? It did make sense. Do I regret it? Not really, I'm going to be honest. It just made sense, and I'm happy I went with it. Emile Smith-Rowe picked up 3. Bukayo Saka, I shoehorned in last minute. and he got 12. Morgan Rogers picked up just 2, but I was pretty impressed with how he played against West Ham, so I've got some confidence he'll be a really good option. I had Isak in there on 5, Dominic Solanke on 2. I think he missed a couple of good chances, so we'll have to wait and see how he does in the next few weeks. He could be one that, if he doesn't start scoring soon, might get downgraded to strength elsewhere. And Haaland picked up 7 for his goal against Chelsea. Bench was pretty terrible. Remy Matthews on the bench, who's just essentially the backup to Henderson, so if Henderson didn't play for any reason, he would be the one to come in. With Sam Johnston pushing for a move, Barco was kind of the 4 million defender that was touted for big things at the start of the season. He didn't get on the pitch at all for Brighton. I put Sangare in as the 4.5 million midfielder who I thought would have decent impact and might be on penalties. He got 2 in his opening game. Forest's 1-1 draw against Bournemouth. And then Jacob Greaves. I've been big on Jacob Greaves throughout pre-season. He was the one that stood out to me as the value. He almost scored as well, which would have been brilliant, but also horrifying since he's on my bench. He will be remaining there for this weekend's game, but he's definitely one to watch when the fixtures start getting easier. Let's touch on Jarrell Kwanzaa then, because this was also the issue that I had, where he got hooked at halftime, obviously, against Ipswich. He'd been pretty badly bullied, I'd say, against Liam Delap. Shrugged off the ball a few times, and as Arne Slot said, Liverpool were getting a bit kind of dominated in that first half, not necessarily in terms of the flow of the game, but in terms of how Ipswich were taking to the game quite aggressively. And that saw Kwanzaa hooked, and I'm a little concerned now that Kwanzaa might not be back in the team for a little while if that's the way that these things are going to go, with Konate probably being the man to come in. His price has since dropped from 4.5 to 4.4. And what I did not realise, I think this was not the thing in previous seasons, is that usually it'd be however much you invest in your team, and whatever the prices are of a player at the time you buy them, you can sell them for that. Now, you can only sell them for the amount that they're worth at the time that you go to do it. So I can only sell Jarrell Kwanzaa for 4.4 million. There are no other 4.4 million defenders at the moment. So I'm a little bit shoehorned into keeping him and hoping for the best. Or potentially having to play a bit of an early wild card to get him out, something like that. You know what? We'll be brave and we'll stick with him. There are a few options to go to further down the line, but hasn't been an ideal move, that one. The move I've made going into this week has just been to take Barco out and put in Taylor Harwood-Bellis of Southampton, who's going to be sitting quite nicely on my bench. Ross, have you kind of planned out any moves that you're looking at making?
Yeah, I'm debating different things. I've also realised next week you can make 2 transfers if you obviously don't make a transfer this window. So
I think that runs up until, I think it might be 5 this season that you can keep making those changes. So I need to double check that, but you can definitely roll them over quite far. It used to be 3, I think, and now it means if you hold on to them, you can almost change half your team.
Yeah, so debate with the Kwanzaa situation. They've got Brentford this weekend, so he may stick with him, you know, Slot maybe. But we'll find out. Now, Foden was my letdown. Obviously, he just come back from the Euros. Obviously, when I saw the Man City team, well, it's not starting. I thought, damn it. But I think he'll come back in team. But he's the one I'm looking at. I'll maybe bring in De Bruyne instead. But then you sort of said, no, keep the faith with Foden, because obviously Foden's a great player. He's won the
good points return.
Yeah,
in terms of what he had last season.
Yeah, so, and obviously he's got talent this weekend, so he may be involved in an assist or a goal. But everyone else, I don't know. I made a stick. I know you mentioned about my goalkeeper situation. Is that worth a transfer this early doors? Because obviously it means I'll have money left over.
Might be one to save for further down the line when you can then start investing that without taking the points hit. So you could get Pickford, who's, is he 5 million, Pickford?
Must be something like that.
So you can bank another 0.5 million in there and just kind of change things around a little bit further down the line without taking those points hits. So, I think that...
Maybe Mitchell could be one I look at, because he's 5 million. And obviously, as you said, the Palace back line, I know he's at full back and, you know, it's good to pick. But 5 million, I'm trying to think there's any other 5 million defenders out there that I could use. Just having a look now, Bradley of Liverpool... Chilwell, Cucurella.
Chilwell's going to go.
Dallo, of course, he got an assist, I think, didn't he?
Yeah, I'd have a look at the United defence as well, because the move I was weighing up was Nusair Mazraoui played incredibly well for United against Fulham on opening day. It was his debut after signing from Bayern, and he's 4.5 million. And that made the ideal switch in my head from Quansa, but I didn't clock, of course, about the price changes. So I thought, if I wait on Quansa, just see how things go over the next week, I can then make the change. That price change has now happened, which means I've been priced out of Mazraoui, which is a frustrating one. So make sure that if you're worried about players getting price downgrade, I think comes when they're transferred out kind of en masse. That's often when you then see that the price downgrades. Go through and actually have a look at all of those, because I have that one. Say, to the price downgrades so far, Darwin Nunez, funnily enough, 7.5 to 7.4. Ivan Toney's had the same. It looks like he is going to be making a move to, I think it's either the UAE or Saudi Arabia. He's going off to the Middle East anyway, is seemingly the plan. Rodri's gone from 6.5 to 6.4. He's only just got back from the Euros, and I think he's got an injury. And Quansa is the only other one on top of those as well.
Do you know what? I think I'm going to do a live transfer.
Oh,
bring in Dallo from Man United.
I like that a lot.
I'm doing it, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, I've just done a live transfer. And so Mitchell from Crystal Palace, see you later, mate. And obviously, I did mention earlier, you know, Pedro is, oh, that's all.
Oh. Well, don't rush too much. Don't push too hard in terms of that. Let's have a look as well while we're at it. So the top captains from game week one, Erling Haaland was the one leading the way with that. He got 7 points. Then Isak with 5 and Mohamed Salah with 14. The captains that we had, I'm going to need to go through this quickly. I had Mohamed Salah. You had Isak. Stu had Isak. And Mark had Isak. So you've all gone very heavy on Isak for that one, which is probably why you didn't get higher up the table. So a bit of a frustrating one there.
Yeah.
Are you going to stick with Isak, who's got a trip to Bournemouth this weekend, or are you looking elsewhere, just looking at the key people here? Mohamed Salah's playing home to Brentford. Erling Haaland's home to Ipswich. Bukayo Saka, for those who have him, is away at Aston Villa. Are there any changes that you'd look to make there?
No, I think, Isak, I think he's a good one. Bournemouth, you know, they're a solid Premier League team, aren't they? But I think Isak could potentially get a goal there. So I think I'm going to keep him captaincy. Vice-captain, I may just keep it on Saka. You know, I know they've got Villa, which are a good team, but I've got Watkins, though. So it's like... So yeah, it's a tricky one. Or do I... Who Chelsea got? Because I could put it on Cole Palmer. Which, I know Chelsea all over the place, but...
No, it's an interesting pick. I do need to have a think about Chelsea.
They've got Wolves.
Who lost 2-0 to Arsenal on opening day in a decent display. So an interesting one there. I am going to make a change in my captain.
Okay.
Won't be a huge surprise. A bit of a painful one to know where I'm going with this one, which it worked for me last week with captaining Mohamed Salah, and I will be doing that with Erling Haaland at home to Ipswich. I was posed the question by Mark, will I be triple captaining against Ipswich? He seems to be quite kind of intrigued by that idea. I'm not as intrigued by that idea. Triple captains take a lot of kind of thinking for me because they are such a powerful chip in the game. I'm intrigued about when he plays Southampton, because Southampton usually, I know they weren't really on Saturday, but usually it's just such an open attacking team. So I think that that might be one where the points come, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't think ever playing it that early makes sense, especially when you look at some of the City games in the run-in. They play Forest, they've got Leicester at home. I think they've got Southampton away right at the end. Games like Bournemouth and Fulham could be where you need something to get over the line, and a triple captain could help. So I'll wait and see with him and how he gets on. I'll say, so you get on and Liverpool gone. But I think that for now, for going into this weekend, it hurts to say, but if you've got Haaland, you're probably going to be captaining him, let's be honest.
Yeah. I haven't gone that down that route of getting Haaland in. I may get him in eventually at some point, because I think everybody, every, you know, FPL player will put Haaland in.
Do you regret it at all?
Maybe, but then he only scored once, didn't he? Did he get an assist as well?
He didn't. He only scored once, but he's a scary man. That is true. Should we have a look? Well, one thing that we can do, we've got a couple more bits to touch on. Should we talk about the Ipswich new signings? That's a good way to transition on to next. So obviously Ipswich have decided just to go a bit mental in the transfer market in the last week. We had a few weeks of kind of nothing, and now all of a sudden everyone's just come in. We had a couple of debutants. One, let's see if I'm going to try and do this in order. So Sammy Smodex was the first one to come into the building. He made his debut against Liverpool, came on the left flank there. So he got his first points, really. He was added before the deadline on the game. He's in there for $6 million. So he is, I think that makes him Ipswich's highest priced player in the game, which is quite impressive. But obviously the factor in there is going to be that he was the Championship top scorer last season. 27 goals for a Blackburn Rovers side that were pretty terrible last year. I don't mind me saying that. So it's a good kind of haul for him there, and you can see why he's $6 million. He's been joined by Calvin Phillips, who's on $5 million. Do not add Calvin Phillips to your game probably this week, because he's going to be restricted from playing against Manchester City, his parent club. $5 million, it's all right, but let's be honest, he's not exactly the kind of player that's going to be scoring and assisting lots in the coming weeks, unless Kieran McKenna has some big plans for him. Kayuste has come in. Your new favourite player, are we going with that, in the town team with his Napoli links?
Yeah, I know he's not Italian, but he did play. Obviously, he's on loan from Napoli, who are my boys, obviously. Swedish international, obviously. So, yeah, obviously he's going to fit in that. Well, seems like he's going to be the next Sam Worsley partner. Poor Massimo, but, you know, decent game against Liverpool, to be fair. But, yeah, Jens Kuste, new player for us to learn and watch.
Be interesting to see where he does fit in, because you would say he could be a new partner for Sam Worsley, but then you've got Calvin Phillips there as well. There's options there. How much is he going to play? He's coming at the lowest price band at 4.5. Not really a surprise, given the fact I think in his career he's scored about 4 goals ever. And he's 25 now. As a midfielder, he's not a goal scoring midfielder. He's tall, he's physical. And in his first interview, he says he wants to get in with some British style slide tackles. So that's an interesting one there. And then I suppose we do have to touch on the latest rumour. We understand that Armando Broja is going to be on his way to Ipswich. Unless anything late happens there, it's looking like there's been reports of medicals being scheduled and taking place this morning. It's a loan with an obligation to buy if Town stay up in the Premier League. So he looks like he's going to be the answer to Town's lack of depth up front, with George Hirst out injured. And just really leaves Liam Delap, might push their other striker Ali El Hamidi out of the door. So we'll have to wait and see how that shapes up. But he comes in at 5.5 million. That will not change with his move to Ipswich. So if he's going to be starting week in, week out and scoring goals, that makes him a bit of an intriguing pick, I'd say, with Ali El Hamidi at 5 moving out. So it looks like all three of Town's strikers, Delap, Hirst and Broja, if he comes through, will be 5.5 million. Any catch your eye of those three there? So Smodic 6, Phillips 5, or it's 4, sorry, it's 4 players, isn't it? So Smodic 6, Phillips 5, Kayuste 4.5, and Broja, if he does sign for Ipswich Town, at 5.5.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to be picks of mine. You just don't know. They can't guarantee to start games, are they? So, so probably not. From me point of view, and they don't score many. I know, obviously, Sammy Smodex and Broja, they're attacking players, so you think they would. But Sammy Smodex, $6 million, that's a lot of money for a player you think may not start week in, week out.
Yeah.
You know, he's guaranteed goals if he, you know, gets that opportunity. But yeah, I don't think they're going to be picks for me, but you never know.
I think there's some risky ones in there and players that, again, don't have exactly big goal scoring records aside from Smodex. So I think for a lot of these players as well, it's a case of waiting and seeing how they get on. Should we end with a little look at a couple of things? Starters got the fixtures this weekend, a few standouts. I'll just rattle through them. Early kickoff on Saturday, Brighton United, 3 o'clock, Palace West Ham, Fulham Leicester, City Ipswich, of course, Southampton Forest, Spurs Everton, half five kickoff on the Saturdays, Villa Arsenal. And then the Sundays, we've got 2 2 o'clock games, Bournemouth, Newcastle, Wolves, Chelsea, and the late Liverpool Brentford. Standout picks there. Trying to see what really catches my eye. I mean, you've got to look at the City assets, probably. Let's be honest. We'll touch on that later in the week when we preview the game. But logic would say that they'd be the ones to have a look at. It's going to be a tough test for Town. But again, who knows? Surprise in store there. Spurs, Everton. Spurs had a pretty disappointing opening game week. Everton with Dier. Is that an opportunity for someone like Dominic Solanke to start getting some points in? Arsenal, Villa. Thought both of those teams were pretty good, so it's difficult to kind of pinpoint one way or another. Chelsea at Wolves. It's a bit of a kind of litmus test for them here after Chelsea's opening day at City. They need to show that they are a better team than they were in that one, which was a hard game. And then Liverpool, Brentford to round things out. Can Salah keep that form going? That'll be interesting to see. So those are the key assets I see in that. Do you reckon any of the top teams will have those kind of players in there going into the second game week? Ross, do you want to have a little look through and talk to us about, just to finish, the league so far, who's been towards the top of the KOA league going into the second game week?
Yeah, there's a few, you know, KOA listeners who are doing very well indeed. There's two fine gentlemen who have got 90 points. That is Luke and Nathan.
Do you want to read those team names out?
Yes. Give me a Dalap dance is Luke Boddy. And then you've got Galactractors.
Galactracticos.
That's the one. You know me, Blaze German, on terrible pronounced things. Even the simple thing there. But that's Nathan Bowman. Let's have a little look at Luke's team. It was Salah again, you know, captaining him. He got 28 points. Saka got 12 points. Pedro Porro as well, 9 points. And he's gone rare in goal. Alexander Arnold as well. He got 8 points. He voice captained him.
It's quite interesting there where all the points have come from a certain group of players, because you look at Isak, I know, got his assists, but 5's not a huge haul. Joao Pedro 2, Watkins 2, Gordon 3 because he kept a clean sheet, and all the points in that team have come from that little group there. What is that, 6 players? So half the team have made up all of that points of a team that leads the league. Raya 8, Saliba 6, Porro 9, Guardiol 7, Trent 8, Saka 12, Salah 28. That's some haul from that kind of group.
Yeah, and then go to Nathan's team. You know, he's got Havertz in his team, so you've got 12 points. Havertz, Salah, Saka as well. You got Jota. He obviously scored against Ipswich as well. And then Pedro Porro with 9 points. So, yeah, it's the same sort of mix of players, but a few different names getting chucked in. I want to give a shout-out to Tom and Alex still, who have got 89 and 87 respectively. You got like a lot of people actually on 80. Won't go through all the A1 because there's a lot of people to go through. But yeah, whoever's got to, you know, over the 80 mark, fair play. Let's just have a look at Tom because he's third currently. He captained Salah. He got 42. Did he triple captain Salah? He got 42
he has
points.
42 points. Wow, that's again, you can see the same kind of thing there. It's a good haul from the defence. The goalkeepers, neither of his goalkeepers played. He's got Kieran Slicker on his bench and Jorgensen from Chelsea. So it's, Salah's made up pretty much half of that team so far. Saka on 12 there. Yeah, there's not that many actual point hauls there, but Salah, 42 points to the triple captain. It's a brave way of going about it.
Yeah, and Alex Still, Leaf Blowers, good name. He got 87 points. Once again, he triple captain Salah, who got 42 points. So he's gone down that route again. So I'm trying to have a look. Maybe there's a lot of people who have done that. Let's look at Mark Ford. No, he just captains Mo Salah. He actually picked Chris Wood, who got 9 points. Obviously scored for Forest. So
it's not bad, that.
Not a bad pick, to be fair. He did actually start Amari Hutchinson, though, which probably let him down. But then, you know, he's actually got 3 Ipswich Town players in. So fair play, Mark.
Brave, Mark Ford, like it.
Hurst passed the post, which is good. But let's have a little look. Anybody else has got so many royal choices going through this list? But yeah, great to have so many KOA listeners involved. I'm sure this league table will change throughout. Someone else also started Hutchison as well. And that is the Bulldozers, who is Joshua Ball, which
like that.
Rapid counter-attack, Gordon Lowe. No Munez. Oh, he actually had Mazzari. He actually started Mazzari.
Mazraoui, though.
That's the one. So that's good. But yeah, some great names. Some good starts for everybody. But yeah, great to have, you know, over 1,000 people involved. And, can people still join the IJ?
They can. If you look at the top of the league there, we have a little group of teams that are going to be joining in. I think they are going to, unfortunately, have to start off on 0 points and work their way up. But you can still come in and do it. The code is 057GK9. It's all over my Twitter. So just go and find that. It's been retweeted. It'll be in the description of this podcast. Get yourself in. At the time we are recording this, but I go all the way down, I know that we are near enough on 1,000 people. I'm still scrolling and I'm on about 500 through this. So I think, let's see, 700, 800, that's 900. It is 995 is what I can see on this. So we will have over 1,000 people in this league.
We won't.
Brilliant.
We won't mention who's bottom.
We won't mention who's bottom. At the end of the day as well, the gaps between these teams are so kind of small as well. Yeah. The team who's bottom is 1 point behind the team who's kind of tied 993rd. So, look, if FPL isn't your thing, come give it a go, because there's probably quite a few other people who might find that FPL is not their thing. It's a hard thing to keep a track of, but if you're listening to this, it probably is your thing, I'd say. I hope you're involved. Hope that you're enjoying these podcasts as well. Ross, anything else you've got to add here?
As I said, I was going to do a live transfer, but I'm going to have a little think. We've still got, the deadline is on Saturday this time around, because obviously it was Friday
Saturday
last week.
11:15 minutes before team news of the first game.
So, yeah, once again, people got the opportunity when they're traveling up to Manchester for the Ipswich Manchester City game. They can debate on their team. I'm sure it's going to now be a conversation in the car for our away trips, I'm sure, AJ. But yeah, I may not rush with that transfer just yet. So sorry to spoil a potential live transfer for Roscoe, but I'm going to have a little rethink for the next few days and I'll have a little decision to make. So yeah, that's it, my friend.
Yep, I think that's fair enough. That brings us to the end of another FPL special going into this weekend. Headlined, of course, by Manchester City against Ipswich Town. Thank you for listening to this. Don't forget to check out our sponsors, Manscaped. Use the code KOA for 20% off for all your grooming needs. Good that this podcast is hosted by the two beards in the group, which is quite nice. Make sure to follow us on all our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, wherever else we might be. They'll all probably be in the link of this video and wherever you can find them. We'll be back with lots of content building up to the Manchester City game. And of course, we'll be doing more of these FPL special pods in the next few weeks. So keep an eye on what's to come. We'll see how our teams do this weekend and we'll see you next time.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.